all agency approvals. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
I don't like to speak for Mr. Johnson, but...
Oh, go ahead.
Now, I just think that all the agency approvals have been received.
Correct.
So everything's approved, so my motion would be for approval of the Woodbridge subdivision 2005-42.
I second that.
Moved and seconded to approve the Woodbridge subdivision 2005-42 revised final subdivision plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is the Delaware Botanic Gardens. This is conditional use number 1965, and this is the final site plan.
There was an error on, this is actually the preliminary site plan for the construction of the plan.
Okay.
So it is the preliminary site plan for the construction of a 44,136 square foot visitor center, a 22,625 square foot conservatory, along with a greenhouse, boathouse, equipment shop, and several smaller buildings. There will also be multiple walking paths and gardens. The plan includes a future amphitheater. The Planning Commission recommended approval of the conditional use at their meeting of September 12, 2013, and County Council granted approval on October 8th of 2013. The preliminary site plan complies with the conditions of approval of the conditional use. Staff is awaiting agency approvals and revisions per a letter dated July 28th. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I've reviewed this plan, and it seems to be in order. I don't think, unless you guys have a concern with it, I'll act on this.
I think the plan looks great. It's it's a preliminary. It'll need to come back as a final, I would suggest to you. But or I guess you could approve it subject to the staff.
Is that okay?
Is that okay with you? Yeah, that'll fast track it a little bit.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval of the preliminary site plan for Delaware Botanic Gardens, CU 1965, with the final site plan by staff pending a receipt of all agency approvals.
I'll second that motion.
So moved and seconded to approve the Delaware Botanic Gardens conditional use 1965. Preliminary site plan with the final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all other permits. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Americana Bayside Village A preliminary site plan.
Thank you. This is a preliminary site plan for the construction of 112 dwelling units with roads and open space for parcel 36 in Village A of Americana Bayside. The plan proposes 56 single-family dwellings and 56 duplex dwellings. The plan reflects a reduction in the overall number of units from 169 lots to 112 lots for this portion of the development from the original master plan. The significant changes are the removal of two 30-unit condo buildings and the changes in the layout of the roads. The plan proposes sidewalks on both sides of the roads within the area. A lot line adjustment will occur to revise the property lines to ensure that the proposed lots do not cross into the golf course property. The property is zoned MR and is an RPC. The tax parcel is 533, map 12, parcel 36. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So the reduction in the lots, they can move them somewhere else.
Yeah, as long as they don't exceed the total.
Total.
Yeah, they can move them around.
Water hazard.
Yeah.
Mr. Robertson said I probably frequent the water hazard over there.
On the golf course.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the preliminary site plan for Americana Bayside Village A. And this is a preliminary. So I guess we should bring...
It has to come back. It's an RPC.
It's an RPC.
Yeah, it's got to come back.
Okay. So that's my motion to approve the preliminary site plan for Village A.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve Americana Bayside Village A preliminary site plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Hawthorne Subdivision. Revisions to final site plan.
Thank you. This is a plan to allow for revisions to the final subdivision plan. The property is located off of Lewis Georgetown Highway near Gravel Hill Road. The property is zoned AR1. The subdivision is being proposed in phases. This revision will address Phase One. All other phases will come back to the Planning Commission for consideration. The subdivision name is also being changed from Paradise Lakes to Hawthorne. The overall number of lots is not changing, however, the layout is changing slightly. Several lots were located along Alcott Way are being moved closer to Emerson Way. The width of the lots is increasing from 60 feet to 75 feet. The amenities are also being relocated closer to Georgetown, to Lewis Georgetown Highway. The plan does include sidewalks on both sides of the roads and streetlights as a condition of approval. The amenities still include a clubhouse and tennis courts. The amenities shall be subject to a separate site plan. The Planning Commission granted final subdivision approval at their October 14, 2009 meeting, and staff has all agency approvals. Thank you.
Why are the amenities on a separate site plan? Because it's in a different phase?
That's normal. Because, if I may, the site plan for the subdivision is at a smaller scale normally. You can't see the detail of the pool, the clubhouse, the parking in that immediate area. So you get a more detailed drawing when you see the site plan for the amenities.
So normally. This would be just the approval of the of everything but the amenities?
Well, it shows it, but it doesn't give you the detail.
The detail.
Could be altered, but you're going to see it.
Yeah, the detailed site plan.
It'll come back sort of like a phase.
For this phase, all right.
By okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, concerning Hawthorne subdivision, formerly Paradise Lakes, 2005-73, my motion is for approval for revisions to the final site plan.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve Hawthorne subdivision revisions to final site plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is lands of Donna Alexander on Evans Road. This is a minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision for the creation of one parcel of land off of a proposed 50-foot easement. The new lot will be 1 acre. The easement will be located over the existing entrance. The property is zoned AR1. The tax parcel is District 533, Map 11, Parcel 61. The easement is located on the north side of Evans Road, and staff is awaiting approval from DLDOT. Thank you.
Okay.
Fine.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the request for the lands of Donna Alexander on Evans Road for a minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement.
Second. The move is seconded to approve a minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement on lands of Donna Alexander on Evans Road. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Johnsonville subdivision 2006-39. Elimination of multi-use path.
This plan is to allow for the elimination of the multi-use path along Austin Road for the record plan for the Johnsonville subdivision. The property is located off Lawson Road near Hollyville Road. The property is zoned AR1. As part of the subdivision approval from DLDOT, a 10-foot-wide multi-use bike path was required along the road. The subdivision's entrance plan approval expired, and as part of obtaining a new entrance plan approval, DLDOT noted that the multi-use path requirement could be waived. DLDOT noted that they could waive the multi-use path requirement if it was not a condition of approval by the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission required that a sidewalk be constructed on at least one side of the road and shall connect to the multi-use path. However, they did not require the multi-use path. The revised plan provides the sidewalk along one side of the roads within the subdivision. The sidewalk along the north side of Henry Way North is proposed to be extended to connect to the school bus shelter along the main road. The location of the sidewalk is also being relocated from within the right-of-way to within the 10-foot easement along the front of the properties. This change complies with the county engineering approval of the road design. The Planning Commission granted final subdivision approval at their meeting on March 14th, 2011. If approved, the record plan will need to be re-recorded upon approval from DLDOT. Thank you.
Did the commission specifically require the path that they're deleting, or is it?
The Planning Commission did not require the multi-use path. They required the sidewalk and the sidewalk connect to the multi-use path, but it did not require the multi-use path.
However, one could aver that by requiring the sidewalk to connect to the multi-use path, we required the multi-use path.
Right. Okay.
Well, the multi-use path was recommended and required by Delta.
And we probably had that standard comply with all Delta requirements language.
And I don't know positivity because I haven't looked at the site, but
well, since Mike's
if
not
it's
here,
in a, typically if it's in a level four based on the strategies of state policies and spending, Delta's not requiring the multi-use path. And we could ask that question of Mr. Brockenbrough if we would like.
I think we just have to make a decision whether we want the path or not.
At least they have the sidewalk.
Sidewalk's still going in.
Sidewalks are still going in. Well, all right then. All right then, I'm all right with deleting the path if you want to delete it.
DelDOT still has to approve.
It's still going to be up to DelDOT. Anyway, I guess. What do you think, Mr. Burton?
I think I'd like to defer. It's just, I don't understand it. What they're deleting.
It was the multimodal path along the roadway.
Along the main roadway. That's the only thing that's being deleted. DelDOT's new design or permit or new approach allows for that to be waived. If we don't require it, they're not going to require it. But since
we're going to get an easement anyways with the roadway, right?
Sounds like it. Yeah.
And yes. Because there was all these multimodal paths to nowhere. There we go from property line to property line.
Like the sidewalks to nowhere, it's the same thing. So they're not requiring the multimodal path, and they're simply saying it can be waived if we are okay with waiving it.
And it's the one along the road.
Just the one along the main road. That's the only thing. Yeah. All the sidewalks are staying until they come in and ask to have them deleted. So.
Just running a little scared of Mr. Johnson and
sidewalks.
But I, if it's along the road, I'm okay. Mr. Chairman, considering Johnsonville subdivision 2006-39.
Johnsonville too. Now that is interesting.
My motion would be for approval.
A second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the elimination of the multi-use path for the Johnsonville subdivision 2006-39. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Eastern Shore Natural Gas expansion of conditional use, and that was conditional use number 889. Wow. Good grief, Mr. Lank. What were you? Must have been about, 22 years old when that one was done?
Before I was born.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, 23. Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure I was around.
This is a request to allow for an expansion of the existing conditional use. In 1988, a conditional use, CU 889, was granted to allow for the establishment of a fenced-in area containing a compressor building and a control building on a 7.99-acre portion of the 28.92-acre parcel. In 1992, the Planning Commission allowed for an expansion of the conditional use to construct the equipment and buildings currently on the site. The applicant is again requesting to expand the conditional use to expand the fenced area and add a new compressor building and a new control building. All of the new items will occur within the original 7.99-acre portion of the parcel. If the expansion of the conditional use is approved, a site plan will come before the Planning Commission for consideration. The property is zoned AR1. The tax parcel number is District 131, Map 10, Parcel 99, and the property is located off Black Cherry Drive. Thank you.
Question. So we're saying expand the conditional use, but is it still within the area of the conditional
yes.
use?
Yes.
Correct. It is still within the 7.99 acres. Right.
So what the commission
the
needs to decide is that is this an expansion of the use that was approved that would require another public hearing, or is it still within that original use and just the site plan's changing?
In my opinion, it's within the original use. It's inside. And the whole thing was approved for it, so.
The discussion with representatives of the Eastern Shore Natural Gas is that this equipment that's going to be placed is more modernization of the equipment that they have and more efficient for this purpose, and that they would use the existing equipment immediately adjacent to it for a backup rather than be the primary.
Good.
So this would become the primary for that use.
Okay.
I think I said that right.
Could Mr. Chairman, considering Eastern Shore Natural Gas expansion of conditional use CU 889, my motion is for approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the expansion of conditional use number 889 for Eastern Shore Natural Gas. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item
going back to that for clarification of everybody, you're just saying that is an expansion within the original conditional use. They're still going to have to come back in with preliminary site plans,
yes,
and final and all,
right,
that. Yeah,
correct.
Okay, just to be clear on that.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Next item is Arbor at Cottagedale, final site plan approval.
This is a final site plan for the construction of 6 apartment buildings for a total of 168 dwelling units. The site plan is part of conditional use CU 1845. The Planning Commission recommended approval of the conditional use at their meeting of November 12, 2009. The Sussex County Council granted approval of the conditional use at their meeting of February 23, 2010. The plan proposes stormwater management within the 50-foot buffer. The stormwater management area within the 50-foot buffer requires Planning Commission approval. The property is located off Mackenzie Way off Plantations Road. Staff is awaiting Sussex County 911 addressing Dart and Cape Henlopen and School District regarding the placement of the bus stop. Staff will note that we have been in receipt of correspondence between the school district and Dart about that they neither will go onto the site to pick up students or pedestrian or people who would use the transportation, as it is a private road. And there's an issue about the placement of the school bus being within a certain distance of the school, so that the placement of a school bus stop is not, or is proposed on the site, is not practical for the school district. Decision regarding the final site plan was deferred at the July 30th, 2015 Planning Commission meeting.
Was the bus stop a condition?
The bus stop was a condition of approval.
And the school, and if they put it out on the road, it's too close to the school, and they will drive up the lane, what makes it too far from the school?
And the bus, if you put it on the road, it is not on their property.
Oh, that's going to be difficult.
Correct. And it, yes.
So they need relief from the bus stop condition. IG, you got to be okay with that, or we can't.
How do you not be okay with it?
Well, if you can't do it, you can't do it.
Yeah,
so
the bus can't drive
down the lane. There's no point in requiring it. It can't be done.
I mean, when I was a kid, walking that distance was no problem. But today, kids aren't going to want to walk all the way down. So those are all going to be driven to school. Oh, well.
But we talked last time about the stormwater management being in elongating the...
They did that. I reviewed the plan, and they've squeezed it into the 30-foot of the extra buffer we required. So I need some wording assistance, because we'll have to eliminate the condition on the bus stop, because obviously they can't comply.
Right.
And then under code, they can't put that stormwater in the 20 feet. But the 30 feet that we added to...
They can.
They can, if we say they can. And I'm willing to do that. I don't think there's an issue.
I vote for yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think...
So how do you want to word that, Vince, is the question.
Well, the original approval required the 50... I mean, it's almost as simple as just approving the... Because they did. They pulled the stormwater management out of the 20-foot code-required buffer. And the landscape plan even shows landscaping, even still within the stormwater management facilities,
so
as...
Just
Mr. Key
ahead
talked
and
about
it.
I think you just can approve the final site plan if you're comfortable with it the way it's drawn.
And then we
that
can
includes both the final site plan and all that, as well as the landscaping plan.
Okay.
And
the
deletion of
the bus stop condition, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Chairman. I move that we approve the final site plan for Arbor of Cottagedale as presented, and that we eliminate the condition requiring the bus stop. And they've got all the other approvals, so that's it.
Hey, before we proceed, are we not addressing the timing issue?
I thought when this was originally on there that we were, but it was only put on the agenda for the final site plan. So, I mean, it's not as though there's a deadline of tomorrow. It'll have to be put back on future agenda.
No,
and there's been a letter that's been submitted, and I've actually been in contact with the applicant's representatives on that. So.
In regards to the timing issues, you know, I think Rodney was here last meeting when we discussed it, and you know, my inclination is if they requested a suspension, you know, maybe for 6-month periods or something of that nature, so that it's not indefinite, because we don't know when DENREC is going to say, hey, you've cleaned this up properly, or what their timeline's going to be. But at the same time, we don't want to give them an end date that's 2 years away or something like that. So,
but is it, was it an advertising issue or something?
It's just, it's not on there, and you know, and if, since we're granting an extension potentially beyond what the current extensions are, it should be on an agenda, just so that there's not any question. I don't want to hang anybody up, but
yeah, there's a representative here from the applicant that I want to hear from.
Did the lights just come up brighter, or what?
We wanted to get the site plan through without dealing with.
Oh, okay. You wanted to deal with them separately.
Yes. Yeah. Staff thought was to deal with the site plan first, and then hopefully get that final approval, and then bring back the extension request so we could deal with one at a time and not tie one to the other. Was the thinking.
Okay. All right. I mean, okay. If that's how it happened, I was just under the impression we were going
to. I did too. I didn't. You know, I saw Arbor's a cottage jail. Honestly, I didn't look at the final site plan. Only on the agenda.
Yes, sir. For the record, I'm Joe Conway. I represent the Campbells, who own it. I'm a little disappointed because I share the same view. I thought this was on the agenda. It's my understanding from our people that the discussion, Mr. Robinson, was just that last month, and that this meeting, the final sub plan would be on, final approval would be on, as well as the decision as to whether construction to clean up the site would be considered, the beginning of the project, that it would meet the deadline of January 1st, or that an extension that had been asked for months ago would be considered. I understand the pressure and the problems with granting an extension, because it may open the door for others, and they may not have the same situation as we have with the worst brownfield in Sussex, as well as the only affordable rental program that the council has got a chance to have. And we understand that, but if the approval of the final plan is granted, with the understanding that construction will be considered the beginning of the cleanup phase, and we don't need an extension. We'd meet the deadline, and I believe that it meets the requirement of the advertisement. I find the letters that Mr. Key, and he's here, provided the commission based on what they asked for clearly indicates we thought that tonight we would hear both things.
I don't disagree. The problem that the commission has, and it translates to you as the developer's representatives, if we act on something that wasn't on the agenda, it could get FOIA'd and we'd have to start all over again. I mean, it just wasn't put on there for some reason.
Well, who is at fault for that?
I don't know that it matters. It's what the agenda says. So.
Well, I do. I understand what you're saying. I know that the commission has worked through this process. I know Mr. Lank has worked through this process, and I'm just concerned that the lower level folks caused this not to happen tonight, and I'm not very pleased with that. It costs my client money to come back again, but I would agree with Mr. Robinson that we don't want to come back, you know, another 7 months from now because of the project being challenged.
Well, it seems to me, I mean, Mr. Conwell, you've got your final site plan approval. I don't know that it would be appropriate for the commission, without any construction occurring, to say that that's substantial in the way. The way it usually works is there's construction that's happened. The commission looks at that and says, okay, this is what's happened on the site. That equals it being substantial underway.
So, I would agree with that, but the concern we had that brought this whole issue up is the decision that the construction underway would be the building of a structure. And it's our contention, and that's part of what Mr. Key provided you all, is that that's a dangerous way. We'd like to go in, spend $1.3 million, clean it up. The first attempt to clean it up did result in some sickness of employees of the company was there. So it makes sense for us to do it the right way. We're still waiting, unfortunately, on the state's final approval for that cleanup plan, which we anticipate and I think the secretary has sent you a letter to that effect. It would be in September. But we're just looking for that kind of response, that if you do that, then we'll consider that construction. I would share your view that if they don't construct it, that's not what we're all about. And but obviously, I'm not an attorney. I played one before and been sued and won both times. But so I'll live and will live with whatever your decision is. But I think the final issue is the final approval. Right. If we get that sorted, then we would respectfully request that we be on the agenda for your next meeting.
I was going to say, can we get on the next? The next.
It's already.
Is it already
on the next meeting?
Great. Okay. And I just want to remind everybody that there's two things that are strong mitigating circumstances in this issue. We don't want to start, a stream of extensions, but there are two things that make this special, and that is the brownfields and the moderately priced housing. We have the Department of Justice looking at what we're doing. We have got to do whatever we need to do to facilitate those types of projects. So let's keep that in mind. Let's get it on the agenda the next time and see if we can't get this thing squared away.
And that'll be when it's discussed. Mr. Key's done a good job of, because I think there's a third component to that, is that for all these projects, there has to be extenuating circumstances, but there should be. You should look at it. There's ongoing work that's occurred. A project hasn't sat for 4, 5, 6 years or whatever.
Oh, I agree with that.
Mr. Key's done a good job of outlining that.
This
we'll deal with.
I know it's not the subject of our discussion this evening, but having seen the
court. Be careful. You're going in that direction.
No, I know. But in terms of actually making a decision,
but Mr. Key's comments were in his letters were just history of what's taken place on this property for years.
Right, and that's what the whole thing turns on. Has there been steady progress? And
that's our point. That's exactly our point.
So, but all right, well.
All right, thank you for allowing me.
Well, we apologize for the misunderstanding, and we'll get it squared away as soon as we can. Okay, we still need a motion on the site plan?
We need a second.
We have a motion and a second. Okay, it's moved and seconded to approve the final site plan for Arbors at Cottage Dale. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
And that also removed that bus stop.
Right. And removing the bus stop. Everybody good with that? Okay. Carried. Our next item is Master Tire. Final site plan, conditional use, 1964.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say on this one, it was just sort of deferred last time because there were some concerns that the county had not been paid for work that had been done out there to clean up a tire pile and other things. And the county has, in fact, been paid in full. We've verified that. So.
Okay.
And that was verified through the finance office?
Yeah, through the director of finance.
That was the main question that we deferred for.
Yeah.
But we need to read that into the record, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry for jumping.
That's okay. This is a final site plan to allow for the use as a used car facility and tire sales. The site plan complies with the conditions of approval. The conditional use was approved by County Council at their July 16, 2013 meeting. The Planning Commission granted preliminary site plan approval at their meeting of August 8, 2013. The property is zoned AR1. The property is located on the east side of Route 113, north of North Bradford Street. Staff is in review receipt of all agency approvals. As previously noted, there are no outstanding fees or payments due to the county. And again, the Planning Commission deferred action at their meeting on July 30th of this year. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, considering Master Tire on Route 113, final site plan CU 1964, my motion is for approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve final site plan conditional use to 1964 for Master Tire. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Carried. Okay. Our next item is conditional use number 1642, Sunrise Ventures LLC. Request for extension.
This is a request for a 5-year extension for the conditional use for 30 multifamily dwellings. The conditional use, CU 1642, was originally approved by County Council on March 21st, 2006. The conditional use was granted extensions as part of the County Council's time extension ordinances. The plan will expire on January 1st, 2016, unless the site is under substantial construction. The applicant has stated that due to litigation, construction on the project has been delayed, leading to an extension request. The Planning Commission took no action on this item during their meeting on July 30th this year.
This is another one where there was a letter submitted, and it's also a brownfield site.
Correct.
And there's also, in addition to the brownfields issues on the one we just talked about, there's litigation on top of the brownfields issue, so it's delayed. I will tell you that it may be appropriate to grant the extension, but if you came in today under code, you'd only get 3 years from the date of approval. So 5 years, I don't know that there's a basis for that.
Well, it's an old saying, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get. So he's certainly privileged to ask.
But they're asking because of the litigation, right?
Right.
Not the brownfield.
Well, it's both. When you read their letter, they talk
the
about...
The litigation is due to the brownfields issue?
Yeah. And it's just it's held the whole property, the whole project.
But instead of giving a, you know, a year or five or whatever, a specific year, I mean, I would rather, you know, say, look, we'll give you a suspension of the time. I think Rodney suggested this before. We'll suspend it. We're not going to give you an extension. We're going to stop the clock.
Right.
And when the litigation is over, the clock starts, you know? And then you've
when
got your months to get started your work or whatever, you know? Or we'll give you so many months after the clock stops. But, you know, to give somebody just a blanket 5 year, all that does is say, well, the deadline's 5 years from now, and guess what? It'll be 5 years before we see them again.
I don't think you can give them 5 years.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
I wouldn't want to give them more than, I don't want to give them any years. I just don't agree with that. I think, you know, they have a litigation issue. We don't know how long that's going to drag out. We'll suspend it. And if we want to put a cap on it, say, well, come back in 6 months, come back in a year, you know, and we'll revisit the issue to see what's going on.
And there's a way to do that. I mean, you can, the trigger date for litigation is just when the last event plus any time period for an appeal occurs. You know, there's
when those
dates.
Papers are signed off, and then you know it's stopped. You know, now if we want to put
plus
a cap
any,
on
plus
it.
Plus any appeal period.
Yeah, if we want to say that the suspension can't go beyond 6 months and then come back to us, and you can ask for another one if the situation is still not rectified.
I thought the litigation was resolved.
Suspension.
Yeah, and the litigation may be resolved. So if the litigation's been resolved, then maybe it would be some time period from the end of the litigation going forward.
Are we notified when the litigation is? I mean, is that something we would know?
Yeah, I mean, you can find that out from the courts. And we've done it that way in the past, that the applicant has the obligation of verifying that, but we can check it also.
So if he came back in and said,
I think in this case, it's just recently concluded, though, within the past.
Yeah, I think so, too, but I just don't have any copies.
Yeah.
I like that idea. So that if it would be suspended right now, and then if the litigation was ended tomorrow, they would have January 2016 to be substantially underway.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, if it was in litigation, it could be 3 years. From the, if you accept the litigation, or you just give them a time limit to show the evidence.
I would just suggest that we suspend it for 6 months. And then in 6 months, if they haven't settled it, they can come back and say, we haven't settled it. We'll give another 6 months.
And here's where we are.
Yeah. But that way, you know, the guy can't finalize the lawsuit, pretend he didn't know he got a lawsuit finalized, and then 10 years from now, he comes back. You know, he has to come back in 6 months or he loses his suspension and the clock ticks.
So it's not so much, it's almost, I hear what you're saying, it's a suspension, but it's really a 6 month extension. They got to come
extension.
And they got to come back and report on where
they are. Report on it, you know, or they can close it out before then and then we'll revisit and see what's going on. But, you know,
6 month fair events?
I mean, that keeps them, their feet to the fire, you know. And then you're evaluating their works going forward, and if you feel like it's stopped, you just say you're getting another 6 months.
I just
maybe
worry
that's
we
it.
Give them too much latitude, and they'll use the legal issue. They'll drag it out to buy time because they're not ready to do the work. You know, if you're ready, do the work, or let somebody else step in and do it. You know,
or let it expire.
Let it expire, then maybe somebody else will step in and
They just come back in 6 months.
Yeah, that's all.
If they're...
Well, here's the thing, I mean, is it...
still good?
Are we talking about 6 months from the end of the current approval, so it would be July 1?
No, 6 months starting today, and then...
Okay.
But they don't expire until...
Yeah, till December 31.
It doesn't matter, then they'll have a 4 months built in to work on it. Remember, we're stopping the clock is all we're doing, you know? If we let it run out to January 1, then when they get the approval, they don't have time to even start work. This way, they've got, what, 4 months to, you know, left in the, on the clock to work.
So what are, you're saying if it's 4 months, we suspend it for 4 months?
No,
we're saying, let me rephrase that. We're suspending it now for 6 months. They have 4 months left. Does that mean at the end, when they come back in 6 months from now, they still have the 4 months left?
The 4 months, yeah. We're stopping the clock.
As of today?
As of today, yeah.
Okay.
So they would still have 4 months and whatever days left of their clock to start work. If we let the clock run out, then you have to give an extension because there's no clock left.
The effect is the same as an extension. You're giving them you stop the clock for 6 months or you extend it for 6 months. It's the same thing.
Well, it is, except that...
I prefer to do it the way you're talking about doing it, but I'm just saying...
Because you limit, they still have to substantially start construction within the time that's left. That's 4 months.
Yeah.
An extension doesn't do that. An extension gives them the time to start construction until the extension runs out, and that's different. And that's the part that I don't like about it.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
I agree with that. Put that in a motion.
Okay. I move that we grant a suspension for CU 1642 Sunrise Ventures of the substantially reconstruction requirement starting today for a 6 month period.
Second. Moved and seconded to grant a suspension of 6 months. For conditional use 1642 Sunrise Ventures LLC. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Okay, that completes our agenda. Referring back to our public hearings, our first public hearing was conditional use number 2017, Eli and Victoria Zakaria.
Chairman, considering CU 2017 Eli and Victoria Sicaria, my motion would be for deferral and for the rest of the commissioners to weigh in.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2017 Eli and Victoria Sicaria. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next public hearing was change of zone number 1781 Riverview Associates 3 LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we defer action for further consideration by the commission.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to defer action on change of zone number 1781, Riverview Associates 3, LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next public hearing was change of zone number 1780, Lockwood Design and Construction Incorporated.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we defer action for further consideration by the commission on CZ 1780.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to defer action on change of zone number 1780 Lockwood Design and Construction Inc. to allow the commission additional time to consider all the testimony presented. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next public hearing was an ordinance to establish a moratorium upon the acceptance of special use exception applications for off-premises signs.
Mr. Chairman, I
think we already did that one.
Perhaps out of order, but
pardon
we acted
me.
Anyway.
Pardon me. We already did that. Well, in that case, that completes our agenda for the evening. Mr. Lank, do you have anything else for good of the order?
No, sir.
Ms. Cornwell?
Nope.
Anything? Anyone else? There being none, we stand adjourned. Peace and harmony prevailing.